Hey guys, welcome to the newest episode of SaaS Sessions podcast. I hope you guys are listening to this one from a safe and isolated location. I hope this whole COVID-19 thing settles down. And until then, I'm hosting great CEOs and great leaders on the show to talk more about the current situation and how we can help your company through this one. So I have Surinder with me on the call today. Surinder is the CEO of Adapt.io. If you wouldn't have heard of this tool, I think you should go right now and check it out, because Adapt.io is a sales acceleration platform that provides B2B companies with the contact database for sales and for their sales and marketing teams. And I think they have a 99% accuracy with their database. And it's also a leader in the G2 Crowd's product for sales quadrant. So it was just announced as a leader in 2019. So hey, Surinder, congrats on that and welcome to the show.
Hey, Sunil, thanks so much. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Great. So you want to give some more information about Adapt before we jump in?
Yeah, sure, definitely. Adapt is a company that is just less than 3 years old. We are a bootstrapped startup, and we are close to a 35-member team as of today. And we are into B2B data, as you said. We are a typical SaaS player. And we built our product in 2017, first half of 2017. And we started generating the revenue in the second half. And we have been cash flow positive, profit making ever since. And we've remained so until today.
That's amazing. I mean, that would be any founder's dream, you know, to start to bootstrap and in less than a year or like, you know, almost a year, you get cash flow positive. That's really great. And, you know, talking about the current situation, a lot of companies are putting themselves on hiring freeze, and a lot of companies are laying off. So what about Adapt, Surinder? So is Adapt hiring?
Yeah, we've always been looking to hire. So we've never stopped hiring. We hired, we almost doubled our size. We were 21, 22 members like 6 months ago, and we are now 35 members. We are looking to continue to hire, because it is very important that we are prepared, you know, when the situation ends, and we want to make sure that we have the right talent. And yes, this is not a good time, these are difficult times, but I'm very confident that we all will pass through this and we'll get back to our old ways. And we are looking to hire predominantly in marketing and sales. We're looking for talent there. We built a very strong product and engineering and tech side. Right. We are looking to expand our capabilities on the marketing and sales side.
Amazing. So if you guys, any of you guys listening, are if you are looking or facing a layoff or hiring freeze, so maybe you can reach out to Surinder on LinkedIn and you can check out any possible role in Adapt. So Surinder, talking about Adapt. So before this, you were working with Owler, and then you started Adapt in 2017. So What made you, you know, take the jump, and what made you create Adapt.io? Did you see any like gaps in the market, or did you see, because I think such tools are already there, like, you know, Zoom Info or Discover, but what gap did you see and what made you create Adapt.io?
Sure. So I was at Owler for close to 5 years, and Owler was a great company. It is you know, a Silicon Valley based startup. It had a great team. And I was running the India operations from Coimbatore here. And we built, you know, company data, company intelligence data, and it was one of the best in the world in terms of the data quality.
Right.
And at that point of time, we were already brainstorming about, you know, the scope, the additional scope that we have in B2B data, like, you know, especially in the contact space. As you mentioned, you know, you just mentioned Zoom Info and Discover Org. They were pretty much the top players, and there was not much competition to them. And at that point of time, there were different companies, and now, you know, Discover Org has acquired Zoom Info, and there's pretty much they are the only, you know, top player there. It's kind of a monopoly, and the industry is huge. The addressable market is very, very large, and there are so many other smaller players who take their own share of the market. But what we thought was, this industry, there is a scope for disruption, because the data that, you know, that Zoom Info has and Discover Org has, data in itself is pretty difficult. It's very difficult to keep it up to date and make sure it is recent. That is where we saw the opportunity. We came up with some really innovative ideas that will put a lot of focus on not how we collect and store the data, but most of the focus is on how we keep that data up to date. So okay, even if we have close to 90 million, now we are 100 million contacts, and you know, we can easily go to 200 million, 300 million, but we wanted to make sure that we keep our data set very focused, and at the same time, it has to be the most up to date in the industry. So that has been our focus, and that is what really matters, we think. And as you mentioned, we are highly rated on G2 Crowd in this segment. In just less than 3 years, we are number one product in the marketing account intelligence category. And the reason for that is because our data is the best in the industry. That is why we've been able to be successful.
Right. So I think the short form here would be, you know, quality over quantity, right? So
that's a great way to put it.
Yeah. So any particular reason that you went like for quality versus quantity? Because I would think like most of the companies would always go for quantity, not always in terms of data and all, but whatever they're doing, right? They want to, if it's a B2C company, they want to acquire users quickly, even though their users are not, you know, that active, that engaged on the platform, but they go for quantity, right? And not for quality. So do you think any particular reason why? And why did you go for quality versus quantity?
So when you do marketing campaigns and sales campaigns, you know, for businesses, it is about the quality. Times have changed. Email providers, email senders, you know, they don't tolerate bounce rates, you know, that are greater than 10-15% at the max. And if you are going to give data, that is, if you send, it's a trade-off between how many people you can reach versus the quality of the reach. So if you're sending 100 emails and 50 of them bounce, you're going to be blacklisted by the email provider. You're not going to be able to send your email campaigns. But what we try to focus on is, if I'm giving you 50 contacts, we'll try and get all the 50 to be delivered. That way your email reputation is not affected, and the end result would be the same. You'll still be able to reach you know, the same 50 people. And most of the decision makers, so when we say quality over quantity, we make sure that the key decision makers are in our database. So that is one of our strategies. We want to make sure that we don't provide just random set of contacts from a company. We provide key decision makers and influencers who are the contacts that really matter. And when you send contacts, when you send emails to these particular contacts, we ensure that the deliverability is really high, so that your campaigns are not affected and your email reputation is not affected as well.
Right, totally. So, you know, taking the same point from quality versus quantity and attaching it to the employees of the company, I think you said in 3 years, you have around 30, 35 people team. So is that the same philosophy that you follow in terms of, you know, managing the company as well? Like, you know, instead of hiring, you know, a lot of people, you hire like, you know, very, very selective people who and you pick and choose your employees and so on. And that's why you have built a lean team. Is that so?
Yeah, that's right. We focus, our hiring process is very, you know, very exhaustive, and it is pretty long process. We at least go through 4 to 5 rounds. You know, we do a couple of phone screens, and then we bring the person for face-to-face. We go through at least 3 or 4 rounds. We focus a lot on the people we hire, because the team is what makes the company, and we have our biggest strength is our culture. We are a very, you know, a team that is driven by itself. We do not believe in managing a team. What we believe in is that everybody in the team is a leader in their own sense. So that reduces a lot of overhead. You don't need a management layer. We have a pretty much a flat hierarchy. Mm-hmm. And everybody has their own responsibilities, and you know, we are a very free company. We provide a lot of freedom. We are a very transparent company as well. Everybody in the mm-hmm. company knows what exactly is going on, where we are heading towards, you know, what's the revenue we are making, etc. So we're a very transparent, very empowering kind of a culture, and for that you need a certain kind of an attitude. We need somebody who can come and say, hey, you tell me what to do and I'll get it done. I can do it. Attitude and skill set is definitely important, but what we believe in is that skill set can be improved, can be learned if you have the willingness to learn. So that's what we've been focusing on. And that's what we are trying to maintain our culture. And as we grow, as we become larger, we want to make sure that the highest focus is on maintaining this culture.
Right. I think I read in some book, I don't remember the name or the author's name, but he wrote this one line which says, hire passion and train skill. So I think that's
Right.
something which you are doing at ADAPT. That's really great.
That's
And
interesting. Yeah.
That's really great. And I think it must be very hard to run a company in India from a startup company in India from a tier two city, which is Coimbatore, and building a lean team. Hiring passionate people without like, you know, not a very great skill set, but obviously the skills can be, you know, gained or you can be trained, but, you know, finding that passion in people and making them work in a tier two city, which is Coimbatore and not, you know, Bangalore or Hyderabad or Chennai. So how do you go about that? Like, you know, how can you convince people, like, you know, to work in a company like ADAPT?
Yeah, that's a great question. So in, you know, when you say tier two city, Coimbatore, yes, definitely it is a tier two city and it is growing. And there are pros and cons in being a tier two city. It's not like, right, you know, comparing to a Bangalore or Chennai where there is abundance of a skill set where you can easily hire. Coimbatore may not be having so much of abundance in terms of skill set. Especially when you look at, you know, on the business side, on the sales and marketing side, but is a hotspot for technology. You know, we have so many engineering colleges here. There are a lot of students coming out every year. For hiring engineers, we've never faced any difficulty, and you know, it is a lot more easier, and we have very good talent coming in as well. And when you compare that to, you know, the marketing and sales, yes, there is some difficulty in hiring for marketing and sales, but that's where, you know, what we do as a company really matters. They look at what they're doing and they reach out to us and say, hey, I would love to work for you. And that is how we hire people. And when you hire that kind of people, you get that passion that we're looking for. And also, you know, they stick with us for a long time. And our attrition rate is close to zero. We do not have anybody leaving our company. That's one of the reasons is because we are in a tier two city. It is a lot less competitive, I would say. But in terms of the compensation and other things, we still match the best in the industry, even in tier one cities. But the people who are there with our company, they stick with us for a long time, and the attrition is really low because of the culture and because we are doing so well as a company.
That's really great. I think for any founder, that's really a blessing to have such a culture,
right,
to have such a culture, and, you know, having attrition rate zero, and plus, you know, keeping all the employees happy with the industry. You don't wanna, you know, like, you know, compensate your employees less just because they are working in a tier two city or whatever, because they are doing the same work as any other, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. And now with this situation, as you can see, pretty much everybody is remote. And it doesn't make a difference whether in a tier two city, tier one city. You get the work done, and that's what really matters.
Right. So does ADAPT have any remote teams, like, or everyone sits in Coimbatore itself?
No, we have a sales team in the US that is working remote. So we do not have a physical office yet in the US. So they are all working from home and they are all remote. But in India, everybody is working from Coimbatore. We have a couple of people who work like a couple of weeks from Coimbatore, a couple of weeks from Chennai because their families are there, but not full-time remote. Yeah, but both of them are from the office.
Great. I think it's just a matter of time for ADAPT to get an office in the US.
That's pretty much our next target. So we are working towards that.
Great, great. And so, Surinder, again, so you managed Owler, like, you know, you managed their India operations right from Coimbatore. Now you started a company 3 years into it, and it's cash flow positive, building a lean team, you know, getting awards, and, you know, building a qualitative company. So what's your take on, you know, building a SaaS company in India? Because I think SaaS in India is, like, you know, it's just booming up as compared to, you know, US and European markets. And I think majority of the SaaS companies, 90-95% of the SaaS companies in India would build in India and sell in the US. So that's kind of the philosophy. So what's your take on, like, you know, the whole SaaS market in India?
Yeah, I think this is a great time for India and especially SaaS. You know, with the industry growing and the model, the typical model that all of us follow, which is which is, you know, to build it from India and sell predominantly to the US. And we are kind of a global product. We have customers from all over the world, but the dominant market is, of course, the US. So this model is something that has been working, you know, over the past 10, 12 years. This is what most of the companies have been doing, and they have been successful. There are companies, you know, who have shown us how to do it before. There are so many industry leaders who have already done it before, and which gives confidence to so many budding entrepreneurs to try this model. And it's it is not easy, but it is definitely something that we can make it work if we address the right priorities. And that's the exact model that we have been following as well. We built the entire company from scratch from India, and we did not have a US presence at all. We did all the sales from India as well, and we were able to do decently well. And for scaling, you know, for scaling something like Adapt, we definitely need a US presence also. That adds a lot of advantage. But just from within India also, we could do so much. And the reason is, you know, in today's world, the communication has become a lot more easier, mm-hmm. and the world is open to, you know, doing business with everybody in any other country. So it is a kind of a great situation to be in, actually. And with India, you get the advantage of, you know, maintaining your costs lower as well. We cannot imagine a 35-member team in the US with the business that we are doing. But a 35-member in India is a lot more easier for us, and we are still profitable. So which is a great advantage over companies, you know, or startups that are in the US. It is that advantage that India provides, which gives our competitive edge over the rest of the world.
Got it. And where do you think this whole SaaS industry is going in India? Like, what would be the state of SaaS in India after this COVID situation cools down, maybe in 6 months or a year, or you know, even more than that?
Yeah, I think the COVID situation is something that is that will definitely have an impact. But as I said, we will definitely get through this. I think SaaS in India is looking really strong. 10 years ago, we were probably the next big thing in SaaS. But right now, I think we've already become the big thing in SaaS. With, you know, we have one of the most vibrant SaaS culture that's happening. You look at all the conferences, look at all the leaders that are coming out. The knowledge that is being transferred between people is so tremendous. And, you know, there are so many companies that have given us a blueprint on how to make this successful. So there is so much of learning that we can do. And the access to any of these top founders has become a lot more easier. So you have all the things that would make it really successful. So I'm really very excited about where we are heading towards. And mm-hmm. I'm very sure that India would be the next SaaS capital in the world.
That's really great. And I would definitely want to see that happen. Great. So I think we've reached the course here. And I have a few, you know, lightning questions or, you know, rapid fire questions. So maybe you can just answer what's on the top of your mind. So what's the favorite book that you would recommend to the listener? Something that has helped you the most?
Okay, my favorite book is a book named Speed of Trust. It is written by Stephen Covey, and it is a tremendous book. It opens your eyes towards some very simple things that you've overlooked, but are so important in not only establishing a great work culture and establishing great relationships at work, but it also helps you on the personal side as well. So the focus of this book is on trust. How do you develop everything on top of trust, with trust as the foundation? That's a book that I really love. It made a huge difference to how I approach people.
Great. That's really great. And I think all the learnings panned out for you and Adapt as well. So something which is really helpful. So what's something, or what's the one thing that you did at Adapt, like some decisions that you take at the early days of Adapt that you wish you wouldn't have taken?
Oh, at Adapt, there are so many. So we've had our ups and downs. Most decisions, you know, some decisions with people, you know, hiring, as I said, we pay a lot of attention to hiring, but we've still made our hiring mistakes. It's not about the people. It's just that what time you hire, what kind of people. And we also made mistakes in terms of the product. We were probably slightly late in terms of kicking off our marketing efforts. We were our founders. If you look at our founding team, we are purely product and technology related. And what we were focusing on was, how do we build a great product? How do we make it technically really good? And we didn't pay enough attention to marketing. So I think we should have started our marketing and sales efforts a lot more earlier. That's one of the things that I would have changed.
Okay. And so, Surinder, like, what keeps you going? What's the motivation for you?
Motivation for me is, today we have on Adapt, we have like 300,000 users who use our product, and we love to make a difference to people's lives, and we see all the reviews that come in, you know, what difference it makes to their work, how easy it makes for them to reach out to the right people, and to hear that kind of feedback, and also to have the feedback from our team as well. When they talk about how they enjoy doing, how they enjoy doing what they're doing every day, that's the kind of motivation that I really look for, which keeps me going. When we see that if we are doing something that makes a difference to a huge bunch of people, so that is what keeps me driving.
That's really great. And like one last question, like if the current you could call the 25-year-old you, what would you say to him?
I don't know, but I think I spent my first 6 years at TCS. It was a great experience. I wouldn't really want to change a lot of that. But one thing that I would tell myself is to try to build my network right from a younger age, because I didn't have enough exposure towards what a great network can give you, as an advantage. Now I know the difference, because network is what really matters. But at that point of time, I wasn't really too much into LinkedIn and networking anyway. So that's something that I would have probably changed a bit when I was younger.
Awesome. So that's it. Thanks a lot, Surinder. Thanks a lot for coming in and, having this wonderful conversation. I think takeaways from this, like, great takeaways.
Great. Thank you so much for your time, Sunil. I really enjoyed talking to you.
Great. So that's it for today, guys. You definitely check out Surinder on LinkedIn, and also check out adapt.io and connect with Surinder. I think he's out looking for, to connect with people. That's something he wished he should have done earlier, but he's open to it now. So maybe you just want to drop in a note and say hi. He'll definitely be interested in talking to you.